Welcome to Bootstrap MD, the Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast, your source to help you, the entrepreneurial doctor, live life on your own terms. Get new ideas and inspiration to help you find more balance in your professional life. If you're ready to get the knowledge without all the hype, you've come to the right place. It's the Bootstrap MD Podcast. And now your host, Dr. Mike Wu Ming.
You've built a career helping others. Now it's about building something lasting for yourself and your family. Lightstone Direct connects you to private real estate investments designated to create lasting wealth. You've earned access. Take your seat at the table at lightstonedirect.com. All investments involve risk. Please visit lightstonedirect.com for a full list of disclosures. Today, we're going to discuss a book which I feel is essential reading for not only physician entrepreneurs, but for physicians. In fact, I think it should be essential reading in medical school, in college. If you've already graduated from medical school, you need to pick it up pretty soon. And it covers the skill of something that you use probably about 3 to 5 times a day, probably even more than that, maybe like a dozen times a day. So what are we talking about here? The skill is called negotiation. The book is called Never Split the Difference by Chris Foss. Let's dig into it on this episode of Bootstrap MD. Hey guys, it's Dr. Michael Ming. Welcome to another edition of Bootstrap MD. This is the podcast for healthcare and physician entrepreneurs. We're going to be continuing our series of books that influence my life and my career and how these books can apply to you and what you're currently doing as a clinician or healthcare entrepreneur. And today I'm going to be talking about a book which I feel is essential reading for not only physicians, but physicians in general. Everybody can benefit from this book. And it's a topic that we don't get any really training on. We probably learn the hard way about why we need to use this particular skill. And that's the skill of negotiation. It's not traditionally taught in medical education, but as I mentioned, it is increasingly essential. When you use negotiation, when you're talking with patients, when you're getting them, persuading them to take a certain medication or perhaps get a special treatment or a lab or asking them to get an x-ray, obviously use it in negotiation, in selling negotiation. You know, I think it's a skill that doctors, we may be smart, but we may not be negotiable smart in terms of like, well, this is a salary and this is what you're going to get. And we say, yep, okay, that sounds great. So we're going to talk about how physicians can apply the tenets that I learned in this book, Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, so they can navigate and apply negotiation skills successfully. So the book we're talking about is called Never Split the Difference, Negotiating as If Your Life Depended on It, was written by Chris Voss. It was published in 2016. He is a former lead kidnapping negotiator for the FBI. He has a 30-plus years career on how he negotiates with bad people. Now he negotiates with terrorists. And a key takeaway is that successful negotiations should focus on uncovering shared interests and generating mutually beneficial solutions rather than treating negotiations as a zero-sum game. So some of the key principles that you can learn in the book is the importance of emotional intelligence, how to be strategically empathic, and using what are known as calibrated questions. We talk about how to influence positive outcomes by making the other party negotiate against themselves. And just pitfalls, negotiation pitfalls, how to handle objections, and to use psychology in your favor. So we use it a lot in business, and it's a book that is talked about quite a bit, but you don't see it talked about in the medical community, which, you know, in my opinion, why in medicine physicians are at the level that we're at is that we have poor negotiation skills. We tend to say yes to everything to our own detriment. Now, the title of the book, Never Split the Difference, what that means, it's a key principle that you learn after reading the book. And what we always end up doing is when negotiations, we mean in the middle, we quote, split the difference. And you want to avoid these compromising solutions between yourself and the other party's offer. So let's say, for example, you want to buy a house, you offer the seller $500,000, they say $1 million, so you'll split the difference and it'll come up to $750,000, which, right, sounds fair, right? I mean, we've learned how to do this since childhood. We split the difference. Why you don't want to do that is really what happens is nobody gets really what they want. It's a suboptimal solution and you're leaving money on the table. And so what you learn after reading the book is techniques, strategies that you can use so it becomes advantageous to your side and you find the solutions that work for you. Although it sounds like when you're doing these negotiation skills, it make it sound like they came up with the solution. So let's kind of dig deep on some of the techniques that you learn from the book. So let's talk about principles that you can learn from the book, Never Split the Difference. So a principle you learn in the book is you don't want to make the first offer. So you want to make the other side propose something. So let's say you're coming in for a raise. You know, a lot of this can apply to salary negotiation. If you throw out a number first, it really puts yourself in a disadvantage. You want them to provide the initial proposed raise amount. So that gives you more flexibility. So I use that oftentimes when we're hiring somebody. I ask them, what is a rate that you'll consider? And what's the reason why you want to do that is it gives you valuable information that you can use in your negotiation skills. It gives you a starting point to negotiate from. And you, oftentimes you might even be surprised by what they propose. You might think that they're coming in for a raise and say, well, let me know what you think is a good place to start with. So some phrases that you can use for this is, let's say when you're negotiating, is just giving a response. It's like, thank you for this opportunity. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on what kind of raise you think would be fair to me. Or I'm open to considering any offer you feel would be appropriate to compensate me for the additional work that I've taken in. And so what that does is when you ask them that question, the other party has to fill in that silence. And most people don't like awkward silence. So they'll put in an amount. And this gives you then a target so you can negotiate upwards. So, and make, hey, that sounds awesome, I'll take it. Or make a higher counter offer, allowing you to argue the value that you do, providing research, providing marketing comparisons, whatever you want. So always make sure that you don't throw a number first, let the other party throw it one first. Another important principle from the book, Never Split the Difference, is you want to establish emotional connections. This is done before negotiating, and this is really common sense. You want to build rapport with them, and they can make you more receptive to your requests. So again, we're going to use salary negotiations. You want to build rapport with them. This can be as simple as just making small talk, you know, break the ice, find some type of common ground, talk about, you know, hey, how was your trip? You know, hey, how was, you know, Maddie doing in school, their little one? How's she doing? How's she liking it? You know, hey, did you watch the game? If they're interested into sports, you want to find some type of common interest first. It's important you find these shared values. It's just going to make things so much easier for it. It's so interesting is when people are trying to negotiate and you really don't know anything about it. And so, you know, you want to give them shared values. You want to give them understanding. You want to set a positive tone for the meeting, you know, that's about to happen. And what that does is it builds momentum. So just be friendly, just be open-minded. You can give compliments, but not like so much so that you feel like they're kissing their butt. There's obviously a line that you generally, you know, maybe something that you admire about them, you know, hey, you know, things are going great in the company. You know, really, you know, it's amazing what, you know, how we've grown. And I just want to kind of be a part of that. And, you know, for a long period of time, it just makes it so much easier to find solutions that you both can agree on. Smile, be uplifting. I like to use humor, you know, in a meeting. Everybody is in a positive state of mind. Another important principle from the book is understanding motivations and constraints. So what does this mean is you need to answer, or you need to ask thoughtful questions that you have, understand their interests. And what this does is it limits opportunities. Again, let's use salary negotiation. Before asking for a raise or before negotiating, you want to know like that you've thought about the situation. You're just not asking for it. You want to make sure that like you have thought about this and that you have given considerable thought about this. So, you know, here are some examples. You can first just by asking them direct, you know, so I've been with the company a while. How would you say the company is doing? Do you feel that there are any constraints or considerations that may impact salaries for the employees this year? When you're considering an employee, what are the key factors you look for when you're considering offering a raise? If budget wasn't a factor, what process would you follow to determine an appropriate increase considering these increased duties? This is often great. It's like when you come in, they're asking you to do more. Hey, that sounds great. I'd love to be a part of this. I'd love to be part of a growing company. So however, due to this will add increased time and more. What do you consider would be an appropriate raise for someone in my circumstances this could be affecting? And you want to really listen closely to what they say and then follow up these questions, these probing questions, so you have a better understanding of this position.
Running an independent practice has never been harder, especially with rising health insurance costs. That's why a physician created Rise Health, premium health insurance built exclusively for independent doctors, their employees, and their families with cost savings. Take control of your practice and protect the people who matter most. Get your quote today at risehealth.com. That's RYZEhealth.com. And stay connected. Follow at rise.health on Instagram, and also find them on LinkedIn at Rise Health.
You want to look at not only how they respond, you want to see kind of what their body language is. You want to have their engagement. When doing these kinds of things, you want to do this face-to-face. You don't want to do this over the phone or even via Zoom if possible. The goal is in negotiation, you want to understand those, like what is available. You want to make sure it makes sense. And also be able to give a response to it. So you have more data, more knowledge, so you can create a targeted solution that works best for both parties. Another important principle you learn from the book is probably one of my favorites, and it's called utilizing the mirroring technique. So what mirroring does is you repeat the last few words, what the other party is saying, to encourage them to give you more information. So when you're asking those probing questions, you use certain key phrases that you pick up on. So what it does is it gives you more insight and allow you to demonstrate empathy that, hey, I really understand what you're doing. So let's give an example. So let's say you're negotiating for a raise and they're saying that given the, you ask for a raise and they say, well, you know, depending right now, the budget really doesn't allow it. It's going to be giving salary increases to doctors is really challenging. And so you follow up with those last few words and you say, well, so what I hear you saying is that the current budget salaries for doctors is going to be really challenging. It's almost as simple as that. You focus on a few words. They're saying, well, I really appreciate that you're taking more work. I have to balance rewarding you as well as all the other doctors that are employed with us. So what I'm hearing you say is that you're trying to be fair and not give out salaries because you have to divide it among all of the different doctors. So you're just using a few of their words and you're bringing it right back to them. So this really makes it happen. When someone's repeating their words, you know, when the way that I understand it is people love to hear themselves talk. And so by repeating a few of the words that they're doing, it shows that you're actually listening to them and they're hearing back what they actually said, which makes them feel a lot better. And it puts you on the same level and at the same level of understanding, which again, gets you closer to a possible solution that it seems works both for both parties. important technique you use is the phrase labeling. And what this does is labeling means that you're validating somebody's emotions by acknowledging it. It's a powerful way to show that you're really trying to understand the other person's point of view, the other person's perspective, without necessarily like agreeing with it. I mean, and that's the important thing. It's like, you're not actually agreeing. You're just stating like what you're feeling and you're saying it. So we've all been in a situation where we're dealing with patients and they seem anxious about a procedure. And you say, hey, you seem anxious about what happens next. And it says, oh, wow, you are in like my level, and you can help the patient feel understood or more open to discussing their fears. I do that all the time when it's like, I give them instructions. Hey, I say, wow, I gave you a lot of different instructions, really complex. It feels like a little apprehensive, which I totally understand. What can I do to help alleviate some of those fears that you have? Let's say you're being asked to take on more duties without additional pay, which often is happens, right? So you could say, so it sounds like you need a lot more coverage in the clinic. So what this does is acknowledges your administration's needs, which could be a precursor to discussing, hey, maybe I should be compensated for this extra work. So when you want to use labeling, you want to listen actively, pay attention to any type of emotional cues, understanding body language, and just call it what it is. If the person seems frustrated, say, hey, label it. Hey, you seem really frustrated with what I see. Let's talk about it. You not taking any sides yet. Oftentimes we want to say no right away. But you want to take emotion out of it. You want to be calm. You want to be cool. Remain neutral. It's not about agreeing, but it's just acknowledging. You want to be precise. Don't give vague labels. You want to make sure that you're acknowledging the emotion that the party is feeling. Also use pauses. I'm really good at awkward silences, but people want to fill in that silence. And you want to give that person a moment to reflect, to confirm. Don't just start talking right away. Listen to them first. And then when you do labeling, you want to make sure you follow up by asking questions to elaborate, better understand their feelings, their concerns. What labeling does remarkably is it really kind of diffuses any negative emotions and just reinforces positive ones. This builds trust. This builds understanding. Another important principle from the book, Never Split the Difference, is embracing the word no. Right? We all, since kids, we don't like that word, right? We have no, and most think, well, I guess that's the end. If you had kids, it's usually not the end of that, you know? And my son is really good at embracing the word no, and you need to be as good as he is. So recognize no is really not the end, but really a starting point for a negotiation. So let's say you ask for a raise and you say no. Well, you want to probe the interests behind that word no. Okay, they say, you ask for a raise, they say no. So what are the reasons behind the no's? So I understand that this raise isn't working at this time. So what are some ways that we could address this creatively? What could we revisit this and when and what needs to happen for it to occur? You ask for a 10% raise and you say, okay, well, I recognize you're saying no to this 10% raise. I could be open to a 5% raise, or you're getting to a partial no. You want to frame no as an opportunity to find win solutions for both. Okay, so what you're saying is the proposal is a no-go at this time, but let's see if we can collaborate. Maybe we can find an option that kind of works for both of us. Make sure that you're not confrontational. You're trying to be thoughtful. And so what this does is it steers the conversation in a positive direction and makes it sound like, hey, I want to work with you, collaborate with you to help find a solution that can lead to further negotiation without being completely shut down in the first place. Another important principle that I learned from the book, Never Split the Difference, is using calibrated questions. So what are calibrated questions? These are questions that are designed to elicit information that you want from the other party, allow you to uncover their motivations, and allow you better strategic insight. So well-calibrated questions that we learn are open-ended, they're neutral in tone, They're free of any type of assumptions, and they use phrases with the word how or what or explain it to me. In the book, I mentioned the author is a negotiator, and then let's say the kidnapper wants $20 million in a bank right away, and he wants to talk to the president of the United States. And so what we're saying is you want $20 million and you want me to get the president of the United States on the phone. How am I going to do that? You're not being confrontational. You're just saying, so how would this all work for it? You don't want to put them on the defensive. You just want to get information to draw the other party out. And effective calibrated questions, again, is using silence. You want to wait for the other party to speak versus them jumping in. And what this does is pressure them to give you more detail. So before counteroffers are being made or proposals, skilled negotiators use the power of calibrated question. So let's say as a doctor, administration says, hey, you're going to have a new role, you're going to have new responsibilities. So an example of that would be, okay, so I understand I'm getting this new role. It's going to take some new responsibilities. So how would my new roles and responsibilities be factored into determining a proper compensatory model for me or an appropriate salary increase? You know, help me understand what are some key measures that you're looking at that can assess whether receiving an increase in pay is justified. Oftentimes when clinicians are given extra work, obviously that puts a lot more pressure. That often leads to, unfortunately, doctors wanting to seek elsewhere. In your experience, what are some strategies you use to retain physicians to continue on? Again, you're trying to be neutral, but you're trying to uncover information using knowledge that can benefit you in the right way. They're very subtle, but they're very influential. They extract vital information without being adversatorial. Now, how do you know you're on the right track in negotiations? It's when you hear these two words from the other party. Those two words, that's right. So let's talk about the that's right framework. When you hear the word that's right, it's really a pivotal point, a turning point in the negotiations. This is an affirmation that you hear when they feel that they're understood and that their perspective has been accurately articulated. So, for example, when you're discussing salary negotiations and you talk about here's all the different responsibilities, you recap all that you've done and the value they add to the practice, and you say, "Yeah, hey, John, hopefully you've seen the extra work that I've done. I've stayed late. I've really got that electronic medical record working more efficiently. Hopefully that's led to some progress of where we want to be as a company." And they say, "That's right." When you hear that, sounds like you guys are on the same page. This could lead to possible salary increases. When they're doing additional duties, you use, when they're expecting you to have increased duties, usually when a physician is being asked, in my experience, in my colleague's experience, usually that leads to an increase, raise in salary. If you have the word, that's right, what that does is it opens the door. So these are some things that you need to listen for. Things that we've talked about previously, using mirroring to repeat the last few words, using labeling to understand the person's emotions, becoming an active listener. These are all important skills. And that's why I say reading the book, Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, is essential reading for pre-med, medical students, doctors alike. So that's what I learned. I was only able to capture just a few of the important principles that I learned for the book. Again, I encourage you to pick it up. You won't go wrong. And hopefully this podcast was of interest to you. If it is, please share this with any friends. We could really appreciate it. We're continuing to grow. And just as you want to grow your business and get accomplished your goals, you need to do something every single day to get you closer to those goals and keep moving you forward.
You've just listened to the Bootstrap MD podcast. For more valuable resources, as well as past recordings of our show, check out our website at bootstrapmd.com. Now, let's get to work.